I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we like spooky things.
Spooky things.
And we like self-care for yourself. What did you do this week for self-care?
This week for self-care, I met up with a friend from yoga and we tried a hot yoga studio that's new to me that I've been wanting to try forever.
What's it called?
It's called Sumit's Yoga. And it was really cool. It was like nice and toasty. It was very similar to like the Bikrami Vinyasa version of hot that I teach. So it was good. And it was fun to just kind of like get out of the usual studio and go somewhere new.
Yeah, I'm sure. Just something different.
Yeah.
Is it hotter than what you teach at?
I don't think so. It didn't feel hotter. It felt like the same.
I couldn't breathe. Like, I feel like hot yoga is not great for people with asthma. Yeah. I just remember I was like, get enough air. So,
I mean, yeah, you gotta work on the pranayama.
No, my lungs just hate me. It's fine.
Yeah. So that was fun. It was cool to hang out with a yoga friend, I guess, too.
Yeah, that's a good time.
Yeah.
Good time.
What'd you do?
On Friday, we watched The Tree Lighting with Jess. I went there and I met her roommate, Amanda.
What tree lighting did you go to?
The Parker one.
Oh, okay, cool.
Amanda now listens to us.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi. And then after that, we went to see Chris play. And Cassie, they were
in town. He has a band?
Yeah, he has a band. Analog Amora, they follow us.
What are they called?
Analog Amora.
Oh, that's an interesting name.
Yeah, so.
What kind of music is it?
It's basically like rock music.
Okay.
The girl Amanda is amazing. I followed her. I don't know if she follows us or not.
Is she like a singer?
Yeah, she's really talented.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and Chris plays the guitar. So it was really, and it's always good seeing Chris and Cassie because they live in Florida because they're traitors. At one point they were like, and Chris lives in Florida. And I had to hold back from being like, traitor.
Boo.
Boo, Florida. So it was just, it was a busy day, but it was like a good kind of busy.
Nice.
So,
that's fun.
Yeah. So what are you going to tell me about this week?
So I'm still doing my like Colorado cryptids and like urban legends kind of thing. So this week I'm going to tell you about
Colorado cryptids. Colorado
cryptids. I'm going to tell you about the Lafayette vampire.
Was that another one on the shirt?
It was.
Okay. I need Keith to send me the shirt.
Yeah. Oh, I'll send it to you too because I took a picture.
Okay, cool.
So
I think it's hilarious that I told Keith that and Keith's like, no way. I'm like, yeah. Right. I was like, she hadn't heard the other ones either. So
yeah. So this is a story about the vampire that supposedly haunts Lafayette. So basically, there's this urban legend that a dude from Transylvania was buried in the Lafayette Cemetery. Obviously, we know the lore of Transylvania, where Vlad the Impaler was from, where the book Dracula took place. So, like, when you think of Transylvania, most people think vampires.
It's located in Romania. I lost a trivia question earlier this week. Couldn't think of the country.
And basically, if you weren't home by sunset, then this vampire would get you. So local lore says that basically in the early 1900s, after this Transylvania man had died and was buried, they had to dig up his grave.
So he came to Colorado?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
And found blood in this dude's mouth. His teeth looked incredibly long. His nails were super long. And they were, like, filed down to a point.
And how long was he dead for?
It just says shortly after. I'm not sure the exact time frame they had to dig him up.
Okay.
But it said shortly after.
Okay. I was like, hold up.
And so, like, even if that's true, like, when bodies decay, like, there's this idea that your nails keep growing, blah, blah, blah. But really, it's like your skin is receding.
Yeah.
So it makes it look like they're long, which is really gross.
I mean, how many times have, like, we heard stories about people that were located in water and they, like, their skin was coming off?
Yeah. So basically when you decay, you kind of, like, shrivel up and then your nails look longer because of the shrivel. And so basically the townspeople had to drive a stake through his heart and then they reburied him because they were like, there's a vampire about. We got to handle this. We can't just have people being blood sucked.
I mean, you can't.
You can't.
It's not a good look.
It's a liability issue at this
point. Yeah, I don't want to get sued.
So the lore says that a tree began to grow straight through the grave plot, which some people say grew out of the wooden stake that was through his heart. Just like, okay, it's a wooden stake.
I'm going to be honest. Roots. Where did the roots go?
Yeah.
Riddle me that.
I wrote in here. I was like, not sure how that works, but hey.
You know what? Everyone's got to have an activity and that's theirs, is making up stories.
And then there was a rose bush that grew from his fingernails.
Okay, that makes more sense because there are roots. So it's coming from something. I'm sorry. I'm reaching.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
It's more about the idea of it, you know, like it's mysterious and it's scary.
Rose bushes from realistically the fingertips.
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
So people claim to see a tall, mysterious figure walking around late at night at the cemetery.
After sundown?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Or sometimes they see a tall figure perched on top of his gravestone. So obviously, vampire.
It's kids.
No, it's a vampire.
It's vampire kids. And it's vampire teens.
If you linger too long, he'll get you. So,
it's gone.
A vampire.
Grow up.
Tall, lanky figure equals vampire.
I married a tall, lanky figure. I'm just kidding.
Some say that you should leave the vampire a small gift, a coin, a trinket, maybe even a bouquet of dead roses as a sign of respect and for your own protection. And people actually do leave a lot of, like, trinkets for him.
Okay.
So there's that. If you feel inclined to leave him a little gift.
You know what, though? In this economy, that's nice of them.
So let's get into the actual story of the real Transylvanian man who did live in Lafayette.
Okay.
So there's a couple names that he went by just based off of different documentations of, like, when he came to Ellis Island, when he got his, like, army draft card, when he died. And there's a few different spellings, versions, but basically it's...
Well, when it's from another country, that can happen.
Yeah, like, and especially with, like, Ellis Island, like, there's a lot of, you know, misspellings of names. There's obviously a language barrier.
Well, I think people lost their identity at Ellis Island too.
Yeah, if you spelled something wrong or if they misheard you or whatever. So there's many accounts of either Theodore, but his last name is Glava. And I'm going to call him Mr. Glava just because there's so many, like, first name variations.
Okay.
But he was a 37-year-old Transylvanian immigrant who came to America in 1914.
Was he by himself or did he bring a family with him?
He was by himself with the idea that eventually, you know, once he kind of, like, got situated and got enough money, he could send for his wife, Sophia, and his daughter, Victoria.
Okay, so he did have a family.
He did.
Yeah. I was wondering if, because I was like, 37 is kind of in that time.
Kind of old to be like kinda a single man.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that was a pretty typical thing, is like the man would go get settled, get situated.
People do that now.
And then send for their family.
I've had like Uber drivers that are like, yeah, in the next 2 years, I hope to bring my family over. And I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah. So his Ellis Island immigration ledger was dated June 13th of 1914.
Wow.
And he basically was from a mining community in the Transylvania region of the Austro-Hungarian Empire in Romania. And he basically came to have a better life. So it was like, you know, typical
American story. So he did mining?
He was a miner.
Okay, so he came to the perfect state for that.
Mm-hmm. So originally he ended up in West Virginia, but then I'm not sure exactly like why he moved or what the deal was, but he ended up in Canfield, Colorado, which is west of Erie, and it's 5 miles away from Lafayette. So he lived in Canfield, but he worked in Lafayette. And he fell ill to the Spanish flu in 1918, which was a huge pandemic.
Not long after he came.
Yeah, that, I mean, this pandemic is, I mean, similar to COVID. Yeah. It killed an estimated 25 million to 50 million people. Although some people say it might even be as high as 100 million people died.
I think at that time it was hard to keep track of what actually killed people.
For sure. So he was buried in the paupers section of the Lafayette Cemetery.
Oh, sad.
Which is weird because he wasn't poor. Like when he died, he actually had quite a bit of money saved.
Oh.
So it's kind of interesting.
Well, because did he not have somebody advocating for him? Maybe?
I'm not exactly sure. It seems like basically when he did die, he had like a friend who kind of organized some like some singers and stuff to come for like the funeral proceedings.
Oh, that's nice.
But it was all out of his own estate.
Yeah.
And then like the funeral director guy like
basically, well, hopefully that money got back to
where
his
grave went.
Yeah.
I don't know. The money did get back to his family because they sent it back to a Romanian bank where hopefully they got it.
I hope so.
I'm assuming so. But according to LafayetteHistory.com, which had like an extensive amount of historical documentations, research, like all this stuff that really like showed the kind of life that he lived. Like, I mean, not showed it, but like there was a lot of documents that followed, like, you know, we know when he came here. We know
a history of him a little bit. A
history of him in regards to like how like he was going about in his life. So he was a coal miner, he was not poor, but for whatever reason they buried him in the poor part of the cemetery.
Yeah.
And as we know, legends get their roots started in some thread of truth. So according to Doug Conroe of the LafayetteHistory.com website, he actually did extensive research and he interviewed a whole bunch of residents from Lafayette and like some older people that had lived there their whole lives, like trying to get back to the roots of where this idea
so
that
they
a
know
vampire
something about him
haunted the cemetery. And he found out that the earliest mention of the vampire in the cemetery comes from Eleanor Sanchez Montour, who recalled that when she was a child in the late 1940s and early 50s, her mom, Alicia Sanchez, occasionally warned her not to go by the Transylvanian cemetery or the Transylvanian in the cemetery at night because he would get you. And basically,
don't want to get
like,
got.
She was like, oh, there's a Transylvanian man there. He's known to be a vampire. And if you stay out late, he'll come for you. So it was kind of like a cautionary, like basically just trying to keep your kids from going out late kind of thing.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. Too. I mean, like, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just kind of like to scare her into like,
I like
come
to terrify my children so they don't leave home.
With ghost stories. So, and it worked, obviously. Yeah. Because like she made sure that she always came home before sunset. I mean,
if it works,
if it works, it works. You know, you got to do what you got to do as a parent. Like, yeah. Do what you can.
Kids suck sometimes.
So the premise of the vampire being buried in the cemetery was followed by, you know, he's a bloodsucker. He's gonna come get you. He will come after you. And this was kind of like by the 1950s where this started, like, sort of a snowball effect of like, now he's gonna get you. You know, he's gonna suck your blood. He is truly a vampire.
If anyone says he's gonna get you, they're referring to a man, and I don't want a man near me. So, yeah.
And terrifying. Then by the 1960s, it kind of snowballed into the legend of that the tree that grows near him must be the stake in his heart that they plowed into him.
I don't see any other explanation as far as I'm concerned.
It makes sense.
And it all adds up.
By like the 70s, there was the idea of the rose bushes from his fingernails. So like it starts to, you know, get a little bit more lore-y, I guess.
Have you ever heard a story and then you're like, oh, okay. And then somebody tells you the same story and maybe it's the same person and it's totally exaggerated.
Well, yeah, it's like,
and you're like, wow, this got kind of really
like
crazy.
Urban legends is like,
yeah.
People tell it and then you retell it and maybe you exaggerate something else or you add a little, you're like,
you know somebody cool added the tree and another person's like, what about rose bushes?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And then in the kind of like 80s, 90s, there was the you would be able to see him, the mysterious man sitting on the grave.
Oh my God,
or lingering in the cemetery. And not to be like a downer, but there are literally like no records of townspeople digging Mr. Glava back up. No one put a stake in his heart. Like, it's not.
Oh,
it's not real.
No. Wait. So shocked? Wait. What? I was holding on to all of this being real.
I wanted it to be real so badly. And in my personal opinion, it kind of sounds like people ran with the idea of him being a foreigner. Transylvania has its own kind of like mystery and vampire lore that comes with it. So like to have a Transylvanian man who was kind of tall and lanky and maybe a little pale, but like who wasn't pale in 1918, you know? Like,
I mean,
we're not doing self-tanner. So
you guys didn't have tanning beds, and that's the only way I know how to do it.
So I think it really just kind of stemmed from like, you know, your parents can kind of be like, oh, he's Transylvanian, therefore he's a vampire.
Stay away from him.
Like you can start to get these ideas. And I think maybe it was also a bit of not like stranger danger, but almost like sometimes when people are afraid of different cultures, people don't know what they don't know. And like, so I think it's an easy way for in those times to kind of be like, stay away from the cemetery after dark, basically come back home before it gets dark.
Yeah.
Or this Transylvanian vampire who's buried in our cemetery.
Gonna get you.
It's gonna suck your blood.
I want no part of that.
No. Yeah. No one wants to
be. No, thank you.
Victim to a vampire. So
victim
it's,
to vampire.
Although it might be cool if like, I'm not really sure how it works, you know, because like sometimes it's like, oh, you get bitten by a vampire and they suck your blood a little bit and then you become a vampire. But then sometimes you just get like sucked fully. So like, where's the line?
So as we know, there are so many different vampire things. There's the ones too, like True Blood. They had to like be buried underground with like a vampire for a while for them to turn also. It was
pretty insane. Yeah, there's different like rules and guidelines depending on
who's telling
the story.
I was like, I'd love to tell you, but I don't know.
I mean, if you want to live forever, maybe you stick around and find out. But
I mean, I know you get STIs by like fluid transmission. So, you know.
Or like you might have to be, what do they call it? Where you're like their servant. They're familiar. You have to be their familiar.
All I could think of was Guillermo.
Guillermo.
That's
exactly.
All I could think of. I couldn't even think
I was thinking of What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah. All I could think of was Guillermo. Because you're like, what are they called? I'm like, I don't know. Guillermo.
Gizmo. So I don't know. But yeah, basically, It's an exciting, fun, mysterious part of Lafayette, but like, you know,
that's obviously the only thing not exciting a, there's not going a fucking on. Vampire there. You know, I've never been there.
Yeah, me either.
I haven't really had a reason to.
I mean, yeah. Why would you go to Lafayette? Like,
if you're from there, I mean, tell I'm not trying to be rude. But no, like, I mean, what's like, in if Lafayette? You're from there, what do you do for fun?
What do you do there?
I drive through small towns and I'm always like, cute. What do they do for fun here? Right. I genuinely, that's like not me being a dick. That's me. I'm genuinely interested. What do you do for fun?
I don't know.
I know one girl was in a small town and she catfished Chris or like Birdman and like some girl. And
what? Who's Birdman?
Chris Anderson. He used to be a Nugget player. I don't know. That's one thing I know people do is catfish. So.
I think that's a very broad generalization. People in small towns catfish people. That's all I know.
That's the only story I know of, like, figuring out what somebody's hobby was.
Tell tales of vampires. So yeah,
vampire stories, catfishing.
It's directly linked.
Yeah, it is. I've heard. I read.
I've heard. I reckon.
I reckon.
But yeah, so I'll post some pictures. I'll try to find a picture of him. I'm not sure. I didn't really see a picture of him specifically in the research. I saw some like pictures of documents, but I'll see if I can find a picture of him specifically. And I'll post that on our Instagram at our Instagram handle is Mysterious Mavens Pod.
If you have a story of your own, if you have self-care tips, if you want to say hi or really anything, email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
Yeah, like maybe if your grandma has like a cool urban legend or something that her
grandma's stories are the best. If you haven't
told her,
if you don't know your grandma's stories and she's still around, guess what you need to do.
We need to know them, especially if they include vampires.
Yeah, especially.
Especially.
But any other ones are great too.
Yeah.
Just talk to your grandma if she's still around.
Let us know.
Yeah, you want us, let us know your grandma's still around. That's exciting. Please rate us and subscribe to us if you enjoy us. It gets us in front of people like you, and we can build a community that way.
Yeah. But yeah, until next time,
self-care yourself. All right.
Okay, bye.